Welcome into Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for finding us on your favorite podcast app. Of course, we're on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Spotify, and more. We're also on Dash Radio every single weekday, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. on their Nothing But Net channel. Also, check out the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Get us over 12,000 subscribers. We've got Royal Shepherd, Ariel Gad, and everybody else on the 5-hour post-up show that's going on as we speak. So when you're done listening to this, make sure you catch up with them. It's a little bit of a looser format than this is. And of course, fivereasonsports.com with all of the latest South Florida sports content without a paywall. Make sure you check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. You know a lot of them. A lot of them here are local here in South Florida. Nothing is more local than Miami Grill. For over 30 years, Miami Grill has brought you the big favorites from the big cities. They feature authentic ingredients prepared fresh to order with the best cheesesteaks, wings, gyros, burgers, and more. Don't just bring dinner home, bring home Miami. Order online or in person. Pick up, drive through, dine in, and delivery available at all locations. If you're craving it, they're making it. Make sure you get some Miami Grill on Monday. And now, tonight's episode.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
On the floor.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily show on the Miami Heat and the NBA featuring Ethan Skolnick with Alex Toledo and Greg Sylvander, part of the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's tonight's floor plan. I've got Greg Sylvander. I've got Alex Toledo. Again, I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can find us at Greg Sylvander, Tropical Blanket, and at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. Well, tonight, the Miami Heat beat the Charlotte Hornets in a game that they had to have. They were dominant in the third quarter. And I will say this just to start here, Greg, as we sort of get to the floor plan, which is to dissect one of the better victories of the season. This may be the first game all year, and I'm probably missing one or two, that I feel like everybody who played well. And I'm not talking about the minute of garbage time, but I'm talking about until then. If you go through the box score tonight, but also just talk about what everybody contributed, everybody played their role tonight. Trevor Ariza gave them cutting when they needed early in the game, made smart decisions. Bam had an excellent all-around game. Jimmy was aggressive early when he needed to be, but set teammates up. Kendrick Nunn had another of those scoring performances where he was efficient. You take a look, obviously, Duncan Robinson, the slow start, the early fouls. He missed some shots, but then he made threes as the game went on. He stayed with it. And then the bench. Deadman, tremendous in the third quarter. Shout out to our Brady Hawk, who said this might be the best Deadman game. It might have been, actually, considering the circumstances. Dragic had his burst tonight, gave them exactly what he gave them in the bubble last year, which is not what we've seen for most of the season. Iguodala was okay, and then he got hurt at the end. And I know I'm missing somebody else off that bounce. Strus, I thought, gave them some pretty good minutes also. Everybody who played tonight, Greg, played well. I don't know that we could have said that in many games this season.
It's true. It's funny how it appears slowly but surely that things are starting to come together. You know, the Charlotte broadcast pointed this out, and I haven't gone back to reconcile if it's accurate, but I think they said as the game closed that the Heat have won 13 of 19 now. And you look at the last two games, they eclipsed 120. So the offense is cranking on all cylinders. I like the fact that, that although they didn't shoot well from three, so they only shot 29%, 11 from 38, and they allowed 42%, which is way above league average from Charlotte. And they still, you know, gutted out this victory. They out rebounded Charlotte, which is something I'm watching like a hawk as the little bit of box score watching that we're going to do. That's one of them that I'm watching, but you're right. Like, Bam got to his stuff and he looked really good. He looked aggressive when he needed to be aggressive. Jimmy got to the line when initially he kind of like shelved his offense initially and like didn't shoot much and was kind of, you know, really eased into the game. And then you talk about Goran. The last couple games, he's looked really spry. He's turning the corner in a different way. I feel like that is a huge development. So yeah, you're right. Like, this was one of those complete games and they had to have it combined with the Boston loss. We were sitting all by themselves in the sixth seed.
Well, you talk about Goran too. I mean, you know, this also comes second night of a back-to-back, which is a game that we didn't know that he was going to play. He was listed as questionable I do think the importance of the game probably pushed him to play in. And if you didn't have Goran tonight, you would have had Gabe Vincent minutes. And, you know, I don't know necessarily as erratic as Goran has been at times this year, if that's something you wanted. Give me the one player for you, Alex, that made the biggest difference tonight.
Well, I guess when you throw out that prompt, my answer is Dwayne Dedmon, just because he takes pressure off of Goran. And all of a sudden, like when he's going, when Goran is going, those bench units are actually good. The past couple of games, they looked pretty good. Like, you know, they went on that run, you know, at the end of the third quarter. And it's like, wow, you know, there's some life on the team when Jimmy and Bam aren't on the floor. It's really nice to see, man. And that, like, Dedmon is in such a great role because, and I think John Crotty talked about it on the broadcast tonight. I don't remember if it was him or Eric Reed. They said, oh, by the time he comes out, he's gassed. But when he's out there, he's so productive. And it feels great because it's like, it felt like those bench units before were relying on Goran a little bit too much to just kind of create from high pick and roll over and over and over. And maybe, you know, when Goran doesn't have to do everything in the bench unit, it kind of makes it easier on him, I think. He looks really good. He's playing well with Kendrick. Kendrick had another great game tonight. But Dedmon being there just kind of solidifies things down there when Jimmy and Bam are off
the floor. Well, you mentioned Dedmon, and look, we've probably all drawn this comparison before, but it's really starting to stick now. I mean, this is Birdman 2013.
Birdman.
It is the last time that they've gotten this kind of an impact from a big off the bench. And the same thing as that time.
You know,
that was a player who was inactive for the entire season for a different reason, not for the injury in that case. And with Birdman, it had to do with him. They had to investigate a situation with him. And then he comes in and they went 37-3. Now, they're not going 37-3 with Dedmon. I think they're 7-3 at this point. But the impact when Crotty said that, and I know Crotty knows this because he was around that team too, even though he was doing radio at the time, that's what it was with Birdman. Basically Spoelstra's thing with Chris Anderson was just go play your minutes hard. Like we don't care. Just play your minutes hard and we'll get Bosch back out there when you're done. Just expend your energy. And that's basically what Dedmon's. I mean, you look at Dedmon's numbers. I mean, this isn't like just the kind of stuff where Spoelstra after a game would say about a guy, well, he does things you don't see in the box score, like which he does, the boxing out. I mean, he had one sequence today, which, you know, he defended two guys on the way to the rim, boxed them both out, tipped the rebound to himself and started a break. But it's not just that he legitimately is putting up numbers like beyond. I mean, yeah. It is the box score in 13 minutes tonight. He had 14-8.
And he's averaging 8-6 in 13 minutes. So like even on the smaller scale, if you like take out this, like obviously this was a spike in his production, he's been so efficient in his minutes. So it is Birdman-esque and it's exactly what they needed. Like they needed a hard-nosed player. Like I've yet to see anybody push him around. And that's something I didn't know about Dwayne Dedmon before he arrived.
I don't think we knew a lot about Dwayne Dedmon. I mean, it's not just that he's a hype man for his teammates. They don't really have that. This is not,
he's out there talking a lot. You can see it on the
rest. Yeah. I mean, he hypes him on the court. He hypes him off the court. Here's another, some numbers as I'm looking at the box score tonight, because we talk about how good the bench was. Well, look, Strus was 3 of 8, had 7 points. I don't know how many times this happened this season. How many times this year has Dragic led the team in shots?
There was that Chicago game where he went crazy in the second half that maybe he probably like got near that. But I mean, I'm totally just going off the top of my head.
He had 18 shots tonight. Next on the team were Nunn and Bam with 13. Jimmy had 8. Okay. Jimmy had 8. This was a formula from last year, where especially in the bubble, where Goran led them in shot attempts. And now he wasn't especially efficient because he was 1 of 6 from 3, but he was 6 of 12 from 2. I'm at the point with Goran, I would prefer the numbers from 2 be good. The numbers from 3, like he still is, you know, a capable 3-point shooter. When the numbers are from 2 are good, that means he's getting to his spots. That means he's getting to the rim.
That's what he's a difference maker.
It's huge for them. And the other thing you mentioned, Nunn, Alex, I mean, another one. I mean, now they're 7-1 since in his last 8 with him playing 8 of 13 from the field tonight. And he was 5 of 5 from 2. Kendrick Nunn has become pretty close to an elite finisher. He's now 74% from the rim.
Wow.
This season. And he's automatic with that left hand. He gets to the other side of the rim. He is automatic. He has numerous ways that he can finish. And the other thing, playing the passing lanes tonight, that was a big steal. They overcame some mistakes too. I texted Greg after halftime. That sequence at the end of the first half, which was not Goran's best moment. He didn't let the clock run enough. And then there was the leak out. That was a 5-point swing. And then the Heat gave up the first five of the second half. Like, that's the kind of game, guys, that has slips. Gotten away from them, right?
You're right.
It didn't tonight.
Yeah, no,
absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
Two, 3 weeks ago, even, like, we would have seen that game slip. And, you know, you go back to Kendrick Nunn. Another reason why I agree with you about Goran Dragic and that, like, him getting to the 2-point field goals is almost just as vital to this team as him shooting well from three. A lot of that has to do with the way Kendrick Nunn is shot from three. Like, he's replacing anything we would have expected from Goran. I mean, in 10 games in April, 41% from three on 7 attempts for Kendrick Nunn. I mean, like, that to, I don't think any of us expected that. I think I saw recently somebody tweeted that he's getting close to the 50, 40, 90. Like, is that,
yes,
he's within range. That's just mind boggling.
I mean, for a player that was shelved for a month. Alex, you mentioned something else I want to dive in a little deeper with you. And then after the break, we're going to project forward. Greg, about Bam. Tonight he had PJ Washington as a starter against him. We've seen Bam will struggle at times against smaller guys, that he doesn't punish them. I did think tonight his mindset from the very beginning was to punish the smaller player against him. I think that's from his aggression, I think, feeds the rest of this team.
He did a great job of it in the first quarter. And I think that's something that he's actually been steadily improving on over the past month or two. Like, he's doing it more often, although it's still not something that he does, very frequently. I just think, you know, he's on that growth. He's on that growth trajectory right now. He's adding it more and more to his game. And the more that it keeps working, like, he has these, you hit a guy with a basic post move and you get an easy basket. He's like, oh, wow, we need offense. You got a small guy on you deep in the paint. That's pretty damn close to 100% shot when you're talking about somebody with the soft touch that Bam has and the handle. Like, it's just easy for him. If you have a slower guy, he can get by him. If he has a smaller guy, give him an easy post move. And I think he had that first part figured out, and now he's figuring out the second part. And it's all part of Bam's trajectory. And look, I do got to give Kendrick a whole lot of props. He's somebody that has figured out his game. Like, he is so polished and solid now on both ends of the floor. He's not, you know, he's not somebody who is elite on defense, but he is fine out there. He's making deflections. He's reading the zones and the traps just fine. Like, he is where he needs to be. And then on offense, like, although he plays outside in, when he does get those attempts at the rim, like, he is so accurate, like you said. And he's not somebody who's getting to the rim first and shooting second, but, like, the fact that you're getting such high efficiency from him as a shooter and as somebody who, when he gets run off the line, like, can get downhill and get you an easy layup. Like, it's great. He's just kind of polished up every aspect of his game, and I got to give him a lot of props.
Well, we're going to project forward with him after the break, because we've got to get to what awaits them. They've got, obviously, a couple of important games coming up this week, but also there may be some personnel stuff we need to talk about. But before we do, I want to tell you about one of the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, our friends over at Seltzer Mayberg, right before the Golden Glades in North Miami. They handle all kinds of law. They can do your real estate law. They can do immigration law. They can handle your divorce. You need a defense attorney. Whatever you need, Seltzer Mayberg can handle it. But beyond that, if you've been hurt in a car accident, we always tell you, reach out to them. They are specialists in slip and falls and in personal injury and all of that kind of stuff. Reach out to the law offices of Seltzer Mayberg. The phone number is 855-5000-LAW. It's 855-5000-LAW, or go to onecalllegal.com. That's onecalllegal.com. Here's the big thing. mention five reasons to the good people down there, whether it's Eric or Mendy or David or Cassandra or anybody down there, Joe, and you'll get a free consultation. They got 24/7 availability on that website at onecalllegal.com, onecalllegal.com. They'll make sure you work directly with an attorney to get you the compensation that you deserve. Again, the phone number, 855-5000-LAW, and make sure you mention five reasons. All right, Will, you just came off the best performance in a long, long time in a really critical game. This is not necessarily, I was saying this early on, guys, in this game, not a team you necessarily want to see in a play-in. They got a lot of shooting. They got a lot of guards that they can rotate in. They're kind of unconventional. They reminded me, but then I realized, Greg, you're actually the one that put this in my ear, I think, on a pod. They remind me of that 2003-04 Heat team. They really do. I mean, LaMelo Ball may not be Dwayne Wade, but there's some similarities in terms of the way the team's built, a lot of flexibility, heavy on their guards, on their, you know, and their perimeters to get things done. Not particularly big. That 03-04 team had Brian Grant playing as an undersized center. There's a lot there that you can see. Not a team that you want in a punch out type game. They are dangerous no matter what happened tonight. So this is a big win tonight, and beating them. And also we saw the Knicks, we knew they'd beat Houston, but Boston losing, a couple of Boston's players getting hurt at the end of the game. We'll see how that plays out. A couple of their key guys, but we got to project forward. There are two guys that didn't play tonight in what was one of the Heat's better rhythm performances of the season. And where are we now with, Oladipo, let's put to the side for a second. Okay. Because I keep hearing conflicting things about whether he's coming back or not coming back, or whether they even really want him to come back. I heard something today that they're kind of like, yes. Okay. No. Okay. Like they're not pushing. But what do you do with Tyler Hero at this point?
So I know I was the big proponent of that Tyler would not be pulled out of the rotation. And I still believe that there's a place for him, and that if he plays well enough, Spoelstra will go back to trusting him. So I'm not losing sight of that, but I will concede that there is no doubt that Kendrick Nunn is not going to be pulled. He's playing too well. He's too vital to what they're doing. They need him. So it will be a situation where Tyler Hero is going to probably be eased back in. I think if he gets the opportunity to play before the regular season ends, maybe those last couple games, if there's some stuff that gets a little ironed out from a seedings perspective, you give him a little bit of run, get him some burn. But I don't know. I'm going completely 180 here. I know I said Tyler Hero would never be pulled out of the rotation at this point. I just don't see a spot for him, especially if Depot were to come back also. But this is all, obviously provided that you have Goran on a regular basis and Kendrick Nunn playing well.
Alex, the spot would seem to be Strus's spot unless Oladipo comes back. But there was this great thread that Greg and you pointed out to me this morning by the Mad Heat fan, which kind of got into what the unfairness to Hero, of some of the criticism, in the sense of what happened with him in the starting lineup early this season wasn't really his fault. It was who he was playing with, et cetera. That a lot of this also had to do with Spoelstra not playing Nunn, but also that the numbers with Hero and Dragic together are just not good. They haven't been good all season. And the Dragic Nunn numbers, actually, which were a problem early last year, are good. So I'll ask you this. If the only solution is to basically, if you're going to start Nunn, which I don't think there's any question you continue to start Nunn. If you start Nunn, then you've got to play Hero and Dragic together, right? So how is that survivable?
It's a tough question. And, I thought it was interesting because we went through that thread and we kind of had our own discussion about it in the group chat there. And it's interesting because I think you don't have to play them together in the same way that you have the past couple of seasons, where they kind of always share the bench units. And although it's been, maybe the stronger bench unit maybe helps Tyler when he comes back to ease him in, like Leif said, but you don't have to necessarily play them that way. You can stagger them a little bit, not, a hard stagger, but you just don't have to play them 100% of the time together. So I just think there's creative ways that they can do it, but it's going to get tough if him and Oladipo come back, just because Tyler needs to be eased in. And I think the honest answer for me is this is the time to maybe rest Goran, man. The playoffs are almost here. They've got like 8 games left. And whenever one of them does come back, I think that's the time where you can start managing Goran's minutes a little bit more, just because he looks good right now. And I think we've learned throughout the season with their ups and downs, like him and Andre need to be managed very carefully.
Yeah. And let me throw this at you and we'll close here. After we tell you about Biscayne Bay Brewing, the official beer of the Five Reasons Sports Network and the Miami Marlins, make sure you ask for it by name at your local grocer, whether it's Publix, Whole Foods, or any of the local restaurants. They just had a best-selling IPA month at Whole Foods. So it's definitely something that you should check out. Let me just close here and just give me a simple yes or no. Is it possible, if everybody's healthy, and we're not assuming health for Oladipo at this stage, but if everybody's possible, can you have a bench unit that includes Oladipo, Dragic, and Hero with Iguodala and Deadman? Can you basically roll 5? Because we know Spoelstra doesn't like to roll 10 total. Is it even conceivable that the three of them, that you, Depot could place the 3 some, or perhaps Hero plays the 3 some? Is that even possible?
It doesn't feel right. I feel like if ever there was going to be a year, and I'm going to keep this short, if ever there was a year where Spoelstra was going to lean into maybe only playing 7.5, like when the bleep hits the fan as the playoffs come, I think this may be that year where, as much as we talked about the depth of this team, it goes the opposite and he really shaves the rotation back. So I just don't see a way you can get all 3 of those guys, especially with the way they fit.
Can you, Alex?
I low-key, Ethan, I like this idea. Like, it's not a terrible idea. I think you can try it out. I think Spo likes to have multiple guys who can put the ball on the floor. And I don't think this bench unit is above trying new things like that and just having one extra guy out there. Like we talked about just now, it's not like Tyler and Goran have everything figured out back there as far as shot creation and consistent scoring and production from the bench unit. So just adding Oladipo, and maybe that's how you ease those guys back in, because you're throwing Tyler back in there, but not with a lot of responsibility. So you could just go back to kind of balancing out shooting along with the handling while playing next to Goran and Depot. You know, you got Deadman down there, and having guys like that, the best part about that bench unit is no pressure on Iguodala to do anything with the ball. Mm-hmm. So it's great. Yeah. I like that idea. You know, I'm not 100% sure it'll work. It's kind of funky, but hey, try it out.
I will say this. I never thought we would be at a stage here with, 8 games left before the playoffs, where we're talking about their 4 small guards, Nunn, Oladipo, Dragic, and Hero, and we're saying Kendrick Nunn is the guy who has to start and has to play. That's the, and it's true. There's no, I mean,
they needed shooting. They needed shooting so bad.
There is no debate, though. There is no debate, and the fact that there is no debate is remarkable, and it's going to make for a hellishly interesting and complicated offseason, which is going to be a lot of fun for us to cover, and not a lot of fun for Pat, Spo, Andy, and Adam, and everybody else in that front office to kind of figure out. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with Floor is Yours. Obviously, I'll Dallas game. We got both Alejandro and Alex will be there. I'll be there as well. So we got full coverage for you going forward. Have a great night.
Don't give him the Dion or the JJ contracts.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Regional Sports Network.